Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you. I want to ask you this morning, what gives you strength when you run into resistance? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, whether it's illness or a life circumstance, what gives you strength when you run into, maybe it's other people, run into resistance? You know, we all face it in our jobs, our families, and our parenting. In finances, in school, band, choir, football, basketball, with our friends, how do you respond to an opposing force? If we take a look at our scripture for today, we learn that Jehoshaphat understood resistance. For the first two verses of 2 Chronicles, it states, "After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. Already they are at Hazazon Tamar. You got to get that other as in there. See? Yeah. Hazazon. We can say that five times real fast, can't we? Now, just to catch you up on Old Testament history, Jehoshaphat, as Justin already said, was one of the kings of Judah. And again, what he said, there was already two kingdoms at this time of the Hebrew people, the north, or Israel, and the south, or Judah. And just to dispel anything, the Israel in Scripture is not the same Israel we have today. So don't think that just because it's called the same thing, it is the same thing. So there were two kingdoms of the Hebrew people, Israel at the north and Judah at the south. Jehoshaphat now was a godly king. Chapter 17, verse 3 tells us that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. So what is this godly king of Judah going to do with this multitude, the swarm that is coming against him? Now, today, we're going to, although we might lift this up, this reality, this biblical story up as a metaphor for our own lives, but today we're going to discuss something that is very important. And that is the priority, the life priority of worship. The life priority of worship. And the idea is that worship, along with prayer, is the first priority in everything we do. Now, as you may notice, I'm not necessarily talking about what we're doing right now. Right? Life priority of worship. Worship along with prayer is the first priority in everything we do. Hopefully you still have 2 Chronicles open. I am going to be kind of moving down through it today, so if you would keep that available, that would be great, whether it's on your phone or Nook or iPad or a real Bible, whatever you choose. 2 Corinthians, I guess that's generational, isn't it? Okay. Got to just see if they're awake back there. 2 Chronicles 20. In Chronicles, there's a long list of kings of Israel and Judah and an evaluation of their leadership. There were good kings and there were bad kings, as you might imagine. The one we're looking at today is Jehoshaphat, and he was a great leader in this time of Judah. Now, a great leader is contagious, and their leadership brings people back to God. And Jehoshaphat was one of those. He was bringing people back to God. He was cleaning up the economy. He was straightening out the judicial system. Everything was on track in Judah. And if you look at chapter 19, everything was going well. Everything was going great. And then chapter 20 happens. You ever have one of those situations in your life? Everything is going great. And then, right? Chapter 20 begins, after this. It's almost like the writer is saying, just when things were going good, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and everyone else is coming against Jehoshaphat for battle. And I guess the question that I have today as we get into this, and I want you to think about how many times in your life, in your marriage, in your relationship, with your boyfriend, girlfriend, with your children, or with your job or school, have things just begun to go great, and suddenly it happens. Suddenly it happens. You feel like you take two steps forward, and the unexpected happens, and you take three steps back, right? I mean, honestly, isn't that frustrating? Looking at Chronicles, these verses say Jehoshaphat was afraid. Jehoshaphat was afraid. And there's nothing wrong with admitting your fear. As a matter of fact, it's kind of a healing thing to admit your fear. But on the other hand, it's what you do with your fear that matters. Now, here's what he did. Here's what Jehoshaphat did. Scripture tells us that he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the towns of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now notice in verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. Now, as we heard this news, as these messengers came and told Jehoshaphat what was just over the next hill, so to speak, right? What was Jehoshaphat's first priority when he ran into this resistance, when he realized what was happening? What was it? He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You see, that was the very point of his life when things weren't going as good as he thought, right? It was to seek the Lord. He called his people to worship the Lord. You see, sooner or later, you are going to meet an opposing force. The possibility is in every area of your life. You have a positive vision, a godly vision of the future, and then the unexpected happens. Here's some real examples in my ministry that I've heard through the years. Eric, I'm a victim of downsizing and our child will start college next year. Eric, my husband and I have been dreaming about a baby, but my dad has come down with kidney disease and he needs a kidney. What about the baby? Parenting has been a positive experience until we received a call from the security office at the mall and our child was caught shoplifting. Eric, my wife came home Friday and announced she doesn't love me anymore and she's moving out so we can work on our marriage. What do you do? You can quit. You can see yourself as a victim. You can compromise and you'll never reach God's place of promised potential. Or you can stand up and praise the Lord. A while back there was a study conducted on returning prisoners from enemy camps. And the study included, if you remember right, the 52 hostages that were held in Iran. It was up the late 70s. I've lost track of time. But they were there for 14 months. And the study concerned itself especially with those prisoners who returned and demonstrated resiliency. The prisoners who demonstrated resiliency. Those prisoners weren't crippled by their experience. They only grew and became stronger. They discovered that each of these prisoners of war grew out of a deep dependence on God and mutual encouragement among the prisoners. It's amazing how they figured out how to share Scripture. They wrote it on toilet paper. They figured out Morse code and prayed together through tapping their feet. I want you to think about that. The prisoners grew in resiliency as they sang and gave praises to God. So if we move back to our scripture for today in verses 20 and 21 in 2 Chronicles, 20 and 21. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets." When he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy splendor as they, wait for it, went before the army. Did you hear that? Praises to God went before the army. To be established means you cannot be moved backwards. If I'm established, I cannot be moved backwards. The force of resistance, no matter how strong it is, cannot move you back. And I want you, if you would, take your pencil and look at verse 21. And I want you to circle it. When Jehoshaphat had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy splendor as they went before the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." His steadfast love endures forever. Circle that. Keep that in your mind. His steadfast love endures forever. His love has been established with Judah. But now picture this in your mind. So here we are. We have all these several different thousands of different tribes that are coming together against Judah. And Judah and Jehoshaphat and his army, these worshiping singers, go before the army. Think about that. Picture it in your mind. They had their weapons drawn. This opposing army had their weapons drawn with their biggest and baddest men in front. And Jehoshaphat had a choir. What do you think you go before the sermon for? No, just kidding. Seriously though, think about that. Worship precedes battle. Amen? Worship precedes battle. So folks, what is it that you are facing in your life? The truer you are to the purpose of God in your life, the more resistance that you're going to meet. You need to hear that. So many times we think, oh, things are going great. I must be in God's will. Quite honestly, that is false. When things are going great for you and you have no resistance in your life, that is usually whenever you're going with the culture that is around you. The truer you are to the purpose of God in your life, the more resistance that you're going to meet. Do you hear me? Just shout out an amen if you hear what I'm saying this morning. You don't have to agree with it. I'm not asking you to agree with it. I just want you to hear me. Because it is a truth. The truer you are to the purpose of God in your life, the more resistance that you will meet. Now, don't lose your place in Chronicles. Keep your finger in there and turn over to the New Testament, to Acts chapter 16 for a moment. Acts chapter 16. Acts is in the New Testament. We'll begin reading it at verse 22. This is a story about Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16, we'll begin with verse 22. This is a great way for you to, if you don't know about the Bible, this is a great way to get your hands on the Bible and find it in there. I'll give you time. Acts, it's in the New Testament. What's the beginning of the First Testament? The book? Matthew, and then? And then? So, in the New Testament, Acts is the fifth book. Okay? Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 22. Now, this is again about Paul and Silas. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. So, get that in your mind. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Now, I have seen this prison that is in Philippi that supposedly they kept him in. It's just an interesting place, all right? So, you don't eat steak and eggs, let me put it that way, right? So, and it's been through a lot since this day, but I can imagine how nasty, dirty, rat-infested it was. So after they'd been given a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Verse 24. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet into stocks. Okay, now let's push pause just for a moment. Now, the inner cell is the dungeon. It's the darkest place in jail. All right? Now, I want just think about this. Talk about resistance. I mean, yeah, a lot of us have situations in our life that have not been a good thing. Amen? But think about this. Have any of us been severely flogged and thrown in the deepest, darkest place in the dungeon? Here, thinking from Paul and Silas' perspective, you are honoring God, and you find yourself in the deepest, darkest depression. And maybe some of us in our life, we've been there. You don't have to raise your hand, I'm sorry. Have you been there? Have you been in that place in your life? You are doing everything right, and suddenly you find yourself in this dark hole that you can't get out of. Well, what did Paul and Silas decide to do? You can picture it, can't you? Paul and Silas, I'm tired of this. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm tithing. I'm faithful to my spouse. I'm reading my Bible every morning. I'm a contagious Christian. I don't know what else I can do, and yet God allows this to happen. I lost my job. My kid has been arrested at the mall with only one kidney. I can't have children anymore. I just can't take it anymore. Right? But what is it that Paul and Silas choose to do? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Folks, regardless of the resistance you find yourself in, when you choose to make worship a priority, worship of God, the Creator, the One, you realize that you are not the victim. Your focus is upon God, and you realize God is large and in charge. Amen. Regardless of what situation you find yourself in, do not accept the victim role. Stand and praise God. Amen? Stand and praise God. Let's say that together. Stand and praise God. All right, now say it with force, all right? Stand and praise God. Folks, the doors will fling open and the chains will be broken and you will be set free from whatever is holding you captive. Amen? Amen. So now, I left you in a story here with Jehoshaphat, didn't I? Kind of a cliffhanger moment, right? So let's go back to 2 Chronicles 20, 22. Because I really love what it says, and it ranks up there with some of my favorite scripture. 20, 22. Are you back there? This is Jehoshaphat now. As they began to sing and praise the Lord, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. For the Ammonites and Moab attacked the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them utterly. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Oh, isn't God amazing? You see, when worship is the priority of our life, we connect to the source of our strength, right? All of the Psalms are about worship. In the Psalms, David acknowledged the Lord. He said, "Oh Lord, you are my strength." When I bring my everyday life together with worship as a priority, then the Lord is my strength. But as long as worship is over here and my everyday life is over here, then it's no more than going to church one day a week and the rest of my time is living in my own strength. Do you hear what I'm saying today? You see, I keep going back and forth, and I never realize that the Lord is my strength and my sustenance. And I never really experience victory in the Lord because we make a bubble. You've heard me talk about life bubbles before. We make a bubble, and hey, this is Sunday, this is church life. And we use a certain language over here, and we treat people a certain way over here, don't we? Some of us, many of us, probably all of us in some way, right? But over here, this is our real life. This is our rest of our week life. And we use a certain language over here. We treat people a certain way over here, right? Whether it's work or maybe you have another bubble at fishing or golfing or playing football or basketball, right? And this is the language we use here. It doesn't interfere with this life, does it? It's this life, right? This is the way we treat people. Hey, folks, I'm a coach. I'm preaching to the choir right here, all right? So just to reinforce this picture in your mind, we have this huge superior force coming against Jehoshaphat with all of their military might, and Jehoshaphat sends a choir out in front of Judah's army. Are you with me? And the louder the people would praise, the more the enemy was routed. The more the people would praise, the more the enemy was routed. The louder the people would praise, the more the enemy was routed. Are you hearing me this morning? You see, Methodists don't praise loud very well. And I'm one of them, so I'm with you on that, all right? Just to make sure you heard me, the louder the people would, what?
Praise,
the more the enemy was routed. Then we find in verse 26, 4 days after God's victory, right? It wasn't Judah's army, was it? It was God's victory. They gathered together, and guess what they did? What did Judah do? They praised the Lord, right? The people of Judah didn't forget about God. Does that ever happen in our lives? We are down on our knees when it's bad, but when it's going smooth, where are we then? The other day, I wasn't feeling very good. Quartet had to sing. I mean, I was like, bent over like this, not feeling very good. Quartet had to sing. As a matter of fact, more than the singing part, we were teaching high school boys barbershop all day. And then we sang with them on a show that night. And I'm praying all day and the night before, dear God, give me strength. That wasn't just a flippant prayer. That was a real prayer. Because in that situation, it's kind of like teaching school. It doesn't matter how bad you feel. You get up there with a smile on your face because it's not those kids' fault, is it? Right? At least that's good teachers do that. Right? So here I am. I'm up there the whole day. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't feel like a peach, but I made it through. That night, I was able to sing lead in a quartet, and no one would have known the difference, what I felt like on the inside. Here I've been praying all day. I've been on my knees, praying to God. About halfway home, I thought, I'm so sorry, God. I forgot to give you praise. All of us get there, don't we? Do you remember what you were doing on 9/11, 2001? I mean, as terrible as 9/11 was, it brought the best out of the United States people, didn't it? Or the people of the United States. People were coming together and seeking the Lord and helping each other out. People were on their knees asking God for guidance in huge numbers. People rushed to churches. People were seeking the hand of God and praying for God's protection and salvation. Yet a year after that attack, right? A year after that attack, many were trying to get one nation under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. And a year after that, we were removing the Ten Commandments from public buildings. And today, the news media calls a husband taking care of his wife and kids an alternative lifestyle. Yeah, we beg to God when things aren't going very good. But we want God to get the hell out when it's going great. You see, us United States citizens are very good at begging for God's protection. But we forget to give God the praise. Now, Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah weren't this way, because after the Lord's victory, the people of Judah weren't asking for the Lord's blessing. They were what? Blessing the Lord. They weren't asking for the Lord's blessing. They were blessing the Lord. When we lived in O'Fallon, my family would come and stay with us, and we would go to Six Flags there to celebrate my nephew's birthday, Paul's birthday, and my birthday. And we'd been there most of the day, and it was a gorgeous day. Absolutely gorgeous day. It was a fun day. And we were heading out the gates, and Paul runs up to me and he says, "Thanks, Dad, for this awesome day today." I don't know, maybe he was six. I can't remember. "Thanks, Daddy, for this awesome day today." And I had to stop, and I just had to soak in that moment. You know, as a parent, I wanted to rewind the clock, and I wanted to relive that day. You know where I'm talking about? What I'm talking about? That's what God wants from us. That's what God wants from us. That relationship where we're willingly and enthusiastically, when we say, "Thanks, Daddy, for a great day." whenever you come to worship. I hope, if you haven't already, that you will begin to say, "Thanks, Daddy, for a great week." And from the depths of your soul, from your very toes, I pray that you will give God praise. I pray that you will stand and give God praise. I pray that you will say, "Hey, God, what can I do for you? How can I serve for you?" Because that's how we bless the Lord. You see, every time we really make worship a priority in our life, not just living each day as a robot, not just coming and singing songs and listening because we know we should, but really blessing and praising the Lord every day, and especially when we come together in corporate worship, we will always have a clearer vision of God's will on our life when we truly prepare ourselves. I know that's not good English, but our community, self-personal, for corporate worship, and then truly bring ourselves before God in worship. As we conclude today, 2 Chronicles 20, 15b and 17 as well. I'll just start reading at 15. In 15, he said, "Listen, all of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's." Verse 17, "This battle is not for you to fight. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem." First church, take your position and stand still and see the victory of the Lord. Amen. Take your position and stand still. You see, because you have to take a position before you can stand, right? Take your position and stand still and see the victory of God. You see, all of us need to take a position when we stand strong, letting God fight the battle. When we make worship a priority in our life, we hear God's voice and we become enthusiastic about our witness. Now, here's the thing. Here's the title of the sermon. Entheos means in God. Entheos means in God. Guess what the base of the word of enthusiastic is? The word enthusiastic comes from entheos, again, meaning in God. And you see, each day our worship should be enthusiastic. Each day our worship should be in God, right? Each day our worship should be in God. Each day our worship should be enthusiastic, especially when we have corporate worship. There's no way that we should stand or sit lifeless during the worship. There's no way that we should go to sleep during the service. There's no way that we should sit lifeless. We should be enthusiastic. We should be in God, right? Enthusiastic, that means enjoying the way God created you to worship. You see, when we do worship with enthusiasm, we gain new resolve to be able to stand strong and watch God's victory. Amen? Because we hear God saying, "Don't back down, don't compromise, don't quit, stand, for the battle does not belong to you." The battle belongs to what? God. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise. We celebrate your life and ours. We ask you to give us, anoint us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit in a way that we have the strength to stand and watch you win the battle. In Jesus' holy name we pray.